verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus, and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, my own bowels. When you go to a photographer, they generally like to take several different pictures of you, and you see yourself from different angles. And in this little book, it seems to me, we look at the truth of God through different angles. We have considered the relationship of the brother, my beloved brother. We have thought of fellowship, and we have thought of the relationship of the prisoner, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. From beginning to end of this little book, the central theme is love, the love of God. It permeates this book like a sweet smelling savor, and it reminds me of the two prayers of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 17. He prayed, first of all, that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So dear, so very dear to God, I cannot dearer be the love with which he loves his son. Such is his love to me. And if that doesn't amaze us, I don't know anything else that will. I want the world to know, prayed the Savior, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. But then there is another prayer in John chapter 17. The Lord Jesus prayed that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And he's speaking of the fact that through the indwelling power of the Spirit of God, he makes it possible for you and me to love even as he loves. That simply staggers the imagination. That the love of God, not his love to us, but his love through us, that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In this lovely little letter, there are five mentions, particularly of love. And I'd like to think with you a little bit about them this morning. First of all, Paul's love for Philemon. He mentions that in verse 1. Our dearly beloved. Then he speaks of Philemon's wife, apparently, our beloved Apphia. No doubt these two had been won to Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And they had become very, very dear to him. Paul even says, you remember in this letter concerning Philemon, thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. He says, the spiritual blessing that you have, you are greatly in debt to me. And indeed, there is a debt that we owe to those who have been brought, who have brought us to a knowledge of Christ. And the way that we can pay the debt, as Paul indicates that Philemon is going to pay the debt, is by our love and concern for others. By passing on that which we have received. Sometimes we wonder when people tell us they love us because they don't always come with pure motives. You know, your little kid will sidle up and say, I love you, Daddy. And you say to yourself, I wonder what she wants now. Or maybe you don't have a suspicious mind, but sometimes that's the way it works out. But a love unmixed by impurities, the love of God shed abroad, what a wonderful thing that is. And then in verse 5, the apostle speaks of Philemon's love for the Lord Jesus. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. That's a wonderful thing, to love Him. Thy love toward the Lord Jesus. You know, the one sin that God will never forgive, doesn't make any difference how greatly we have sinned in many ways, God will never forgive anyone who doesn't love His Son. If any man love not, the Scripture says, the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed when the Lord comes. God's appreciation of you and me is dependent upon our love for the Lord Jesus. And Jude in his epistle says, keep yourselves in the love of God. He doesn't say keep loving God. That's the consequence. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. The only thing that will keep us is the appreciation of the fact that we are loved of Him. Because it's the love of Christ that constrains us to love. We love, says the Scripture. Why? Because He first loved us. And one of the reasons I'm sure that we as believers appreciate so much meeting together week after week, month after month, year after year, in fellowship with the Lord's people to remember Him in His death is because there we learn to appreciate how greatly we are loved of Him. And as we gather around the warmth of His love for us, our hearts go out in love to Him. We love Him because He first loved us. I remember Boyd Nicholson telling how of his experience, how that he was visiting Will Pell shortly before he died. He was in the hospital. He died of cancer. And he was all propped up in pillows, and the nurses and doctors were very kindly ministering to him. But when Mr. Nicholson walked into the room, he opened his eyes and he says, it's you, Boyd. He said, yes. He said, I was just lying here, Boyd, thinking that the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. And then he said, the nurses and the doctors are doing everything possible to make me comfortable here. But he said, my Savior died in agony and blood. He says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Consider Him, says the Scripture, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood. And the more we look away at the place called Calvary, that man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free, blessed Lamb of Calvary. We love because He first loved us. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It followed her to school one day. It was against the rule. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. What makes the lamb love Mary so? The children all did cry. Why, Mary loved the lamb, you know. The teacher did reply, we love, why? Because He first loved us. keep yourselves in the love of God. And if this is lacking in our life, we're missing everything. The Lord Jesus said to that rich young ruler, "One thing thou lackest." It was love for Christ. He had a love for the things of this life. He turned away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. "Take up the cross and follow me," said the Savior. But he turned his back on a blessed eternity. Turned his back on the Savior. Your love toward the Lord Jesus and toward, notice what it says, all saints. Toward all saints. Not an exclusive love, but a love that includes every child of God. We sing sometimes, "Lord, we confess that we are one with all who love thy name." Paul, writing to the Colossians, and this was Philemon's home assembly, that tells us that the assembly met in his home, he spoke of their faith in the Lord, faith in Christ Jesus, and of their love toward all the saints, and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Shortly after my mother passed away, my dad got the idea that he would like to take his two sons on a visit to Holland, where he was born. We'd never been there. And at his expense and as his guests, my brother and I went to Holland. Before we left home, we had a letter of commendation signed by the brethren. And my father told me, he said, "You know, he wasn't a Christian when he left home." He said, "This meeting is a very exclusive meeting." And he said, "Even with a letter, they may not receive us, but we went anyway." And I passed the letter to the brother at the door, who spoke excellent English. And he took the letter and very kind showed us a seat. We sat down. And as it came time for the meeting to start, he got up and he began to read different letters of commendation. There were several visitors. Well, I don't know any Dutch. I'm in Dutch a lot of times, but I don't know Dutch. And finally, he got up and he read our letter, because I recognized our name when they were read. And after he had read the letter, I noticed an older man, white-haired man, came and sat next to him, and their heads were bobbing for a while. I said, "I wonder what's up now." Well, he didn't have long to wait. He came over to us, and I happened to be on the end of the aisle, so he asked me the question. He said, "Are you open, brethren?" First question, "Are you open, brethren?" I said, "No. We're not open, brethren. We're just brothers in Christ." And somewhere along he asked this question, "Do you know Brother Campbell?" I thought I told him I knew it was well acquainted with his suit, but I thought I better not say that. "But do you know Brother Campbell?" I said, "No, we don't know Brother Campbell. But we all know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior." And with that, he left, sat down, and we were received. But you know, the wonderful thing to me was this, that in spite of that, after that meeting was over, we had four different families come up to us and invite us over for dinner. And I thought of that verse way back in the book of Genesis, where it says, "Joseph is like a fruitful bough whose branches run over the wall." You know, men put up their walls of separation. But let us remember to be like Joseph and run over the wall of separation and embrace every child of God, whoever he is and wherever he is, if he has trusted Christ as his Savior, or if she has trusted Christ as her Savior, is my brother and sister in Christ. I like what Paul said, of your love for the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And the Lord Jesus appreciates our treatment of our brethren, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, he says, you have done it unto me. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 6:10. I often put it, it's a familiar one, they put it in guest books all the time. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. Oh, we showed our love toward your name, Lord, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We show our love to him by our love for one another. Philemon's love for the Lord's people, Paul tells us in verse 7, was a real encouragement to him. And that's true. It says in verse 7, we have great joy and comfort in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. In our love and care for one another, why, we're being a blessing to those about us. Not simply to those that we're showing our favors and encouragement to. How do we see the love of God? It says this is the way we see it. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. And how do we perceive our love? It says we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. And this has to be a very practical thing. We show our love not merely by having people over in our homes, but our concern for people in their needs. The next verse to that says, and whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's the question. I'm indebted to George Sharp for this story. He told me about a certain large church over in Ireland, and the preacher had been preaching, and after the service was over, he walked down to the back to greet the people as they left, and it so happened they didn't have carpeted floors, just stone floor. Flooring, and there was a man who was walking out towards the preacher, and the sole of his shoe was loose. And as he went on the pavement, it went plop, plop, plop like that. It hit the pavement. When he got back to the preacher said to him, is that the best pair of shoes that you have? He said, it's the only pair that I have. Well, he said, we'll have to do something about that. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a big roll of bills. And he had it all bound together with a rubber band. He took that off and said, put this around your shoe until you can get a better pair of shoes. Well, that's what's called impractical Christianity. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth. That's the thing. You're aware of it. The world is full of needs. But here is that man laid bowed by my gate, and he's full of sores. And I have a good meal, and I go by his gate every day, like that rich man in Luke 16. And even his dogs treated him better. The dogs treated him better than this rich man. We need to be very practical. And you know, the thing is, it's so funny. We can always see that it's somebody else's responsibility. There was an American comedian, he's dead now, named Herb Schreiner, and he was telling of his first visit to New York City. Never been on the subway before. This was going to be a treat. And he got on this subway, and it was the time when everybody was going home for work. And he said he noticed a lady came on, and she had a bag in her hand, and she was holding on, you know, for dear life under this strut. And another lady got on, and she had two packages, and she was holding on. And then one lady got on, and she had a baby in one arm and a package in the other. Somehow she was clean. And he said, you know, he said, I looked around that car, and there were many young men, able-bodied men, some older men that could have helped. And he said, not one of them had the common decency to get up and to give either of these ladies a seat. He says, I just sat there amazed. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And then there was the love for a slave. That's what Onesimus was. Just a slave. And in Paul's day, the slave had absolutely no rights. Under Roman law, even horses and dogs received better protection than the slave. The slave owner could beat him to death if he wanted to, and not one finger would be lifted up in his defense. But Paul doesn't refer to him as a slave. He says, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus. What a difference. A slave or a son. Make me as one of thy hired slaves. That's what the returning son said. But the father said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Treat him as a son for love's sake, I beseech thee. Not because he deserves it. He didn't say that. I know he's cheated you. I know he owes you. But he says, whatever he owes you, put that to mine account. And there are three lovely expressions in this book in which Paul speaks of the way he is to be received. And those are the ways that God receives us. And that's the way we should treat others. First of all, he says, receive him because he's mine own bowels. He is saying this, receive him, Philemon, because I love him. Receive him because he's the one I love. And that's the reason God receives us, for Christ's sake. God hath, for Christ's sake, forgiven you. And each of us can say with the apostle, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And then he says, and this is amazing, he says, receive him as myself. How would you receive me, Philemon, if I came? Oh, you'd have the red carpet out. You'd have the best meal cooked. I'd have the best room in the place. He says, receive him as myself. So near. So very near to God. I cannot nearer be, for in the person of God's Son, I'm just as near as he. Receive him as my son. We are accepted, the Bible says, in the Beloved. God sees my Savior. And then he sees me in the Beloved, accepted and free. And then he says, receive him forever. Is that the way God receives us? The temporary reception? Rise, my soul, behold his Jesus. Jesus, fill thy wondering eyes. See him now in glory, seated where thy sins no more can rise. There, in righteousness transcendent, lo, he doth in heaven appear, shows the blood of his atonement as thy title to be there. All thy sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I go free. God now brings thee to his dwelling, spreads for thee his feast divine, bids thee welcome, ever telling what a portion there is thine. Blessed, glorious word, forever. Yea, forever is the word. Nothing can the ransom sever, nor divide them from the Lord. Receive him, he says, forever. Not now as a slave, Paul says in verse 16, but as a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee. You know, it isn't the law that broke down slavery. It was the love of Christ in the hearts of his people that brought about that change. And it's only the love of Christ that will give us a love for men everywhere, red and yellow, black and white, because they're precious. In his sight, they're precious to us as well. This lovely epistle is really a love story from beginning to end. In verses 1 to 9, it's Paul's love to Philemon. Verses 9 and 12 and so forth, Paul's love to Onesimus. Verse 5, Philemon's love to Christ. Verses 7 and 20, Philemon's love for Paul. In verse 5, Philemon's love to God's people. And then in verse 16, Philemon's love to Onesimus is implied. You know, there's really only one fruit of the Spirit, because what the Spirit is doing is reproducing Christ. God is love. In Galatians chapter 5, the apostle gives us several facets. He speaks of love. The fruit of the Spirit is, he doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then someone has said, joy is just love rejoicing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love waiting and longing. Gentleness is love caring. Deal gently. Then goodness is love working. Faith is love trusting. Meekness is love submitting. And temperance or self-control is love controlling. Love, joy, peace, that's love inward. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, that's love reaching out to others. Love suffers long in its time, we read. And faith, meekness, and self-control is love upward. Faith in Christ Jesus. Just one love of the Spirit. Someone has said, the first three, love, joy, and peace, are the impression of love. That's what's done on the inside. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness are the expression of love. And then faith, meekness, and temperance are the submission of love. Faith is just submitting to God. Just trusting God. The greatest motivating force in the world is the love of God. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. For love's sake. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 13, we read that Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He took a basin. He took some water. He took a towel. And then, taking the place of a slave, he got down at his disciples' feet and he began to wash their dirty feet. He said, I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. And in two verses, the Lord Jesus crystallizes the message of feet washing. Not literal feet washing, but what it meant, what it implied. He says, first of all, we have his royal command. A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. And then he gave the measure of that love. He says, that you love one another as I have loved you. In two verses, three times over, use the expression, love one another. Not love some, but love one another. Every person I come into, one another. Two. No matter who they are, love them for Christ's sake. The reason and measure of love. And what is the blessing that accrues from this? He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Not because you read the Bible, important as that is, not because you pray, not because you meet together with those of like precious faith, but because ye love one another. It's a badge that proves the reality of our faith. And the Scripture says, love covers a multitude of sins. It seeks no ill to its neighbor. It suffers long and it's kind. And the Bible says, it never fails. You know, so often in our Christian experience, we've found people that just seem to take a delight in dredging up all the faults and failings of fellow believers. But oh, to be like that oyster. You know, when that little irritant gets in there, it takes layer upon layer, and it covers that which has been troubling it with that beautiful covering that makes a pearl out of it. And just to think of it, that by my love and my concern for my brethren and sisters in Christ, out of something that's awful in itself, God can make something beautiful. When R.C. Chapman went down to Barnstaple, he said, "There are others that can preach better than I can." He says, "I am not going to Barnstaple primarily to preach Christ. I am going there, and by the grace of God, I'm going to live Christ." Love's sake. Oh, it's something that we all know, that we yearn to see. But oh, by God's grace, may the motivating force of our life in every aspect of it be to show love and concern in a very practical way for every child of God. And if we do, those who are on the outside without Christ, they'll become so jealous. They'll say, "Oh, I want to be in the family of God, a family that evidences such love and concern for one another." May God help us to do so for His name's sake. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for Thy precious word. We're thankful for the example of Philemon and Paul. We're thankful for the concern and compassion that is evident in this lovely little letter, permeated by Thy love, flowing from Thy throne down through the apostle to Philemon, and then reaching out to Onesimus and restoring him to a place of favor, not only with Thyself, but even with his master whom he had wronged so dreadfully. Oh God, we thank Thee for Thy great love which Thou hast to us. For we're thankful that through the Spirit of God, that Thy love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. We pray Thy blessing on Thy word today. We thank for these days that we've spent together just looking for a little while at this lovely little book. And we pray something of the flavor of it and the savor of it may find its expression in our lives for Thy glory and for the good of others. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.